Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds and Heaven is back. We're brought to you by the Armchair Media Network. We sleep in May. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. future Alabama analyst turned FBS head coach. And with me, as always, is AJ. Texas and Tennessee are back. Marchese.
Love the orange schools. What's Tennessee's orange called? Do you know?
Volunteer orange. I guarantee that's what it's called.
And then Texas. I like the burnt orange. I'm a burnt orange fan.
I googled volunteer orange. I don't know. I'm
Rocky unknown. Top orange.
That would be way cooler. Today we're grading the new head coaches in college football and looking at which coaches could be next to land some big gigs. Let's hit it.
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby. Driving up to Cleveland, maybe. Looking for a Lawrence or Sewell. Don't draft specialists on the first day, eh? Don't draft specialists on the second day, eh? Maybe draft a punter in the sixth. We'll see. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
From rare dead stock to the latest release, you can find the exact sneaker you're looking for on eBay. As the original sneaker marketplace, eBay is the place to go to cop the pair you've been eyeing. And with eBay's authenticity guarantee, a team of independent, professional authenticators perform a rigorous inspection of the sneakers you purchase before they're sent to you, so you can shop confidently knowing your pair is the real deal. And for the sneaker sellers out there, eBay has eliminated selling fees on sneakers $100 and up, making it free to sell or flip your collection. With other sites taking as much as 25%, you're going to have a lot of extra money left for more sneakers. Check out ebay.com/sneakers today. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Go bet on the Golden Globes. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. You know who's probably not an expert, AJ?
Kevin Sumlin.
Oh, well, geez, I was going to say Jed Fish, but either or. Whoever both Arizona has as head coach usually, yeah.
Especially not an expert.
Okay, we're going to go with
beating Arizona State.
Good one, AJ.
Forks up, baby.
We're going to go through the... Oh, my God. We're going to go through the 15 new college football coaching staffs. We're going to grade them like we did last week with the NFL staffs.
Number grades.
All these letters AJ probably got... There you go. And then I'll pitch some future head coaches at AJ or current head coaches who could make the leap to the Power 5. And AJ will probably disapprove of all of them because I have them all going to Michigan.
mean, no, that makes me happy. I don't like Harbaugh.
Okay, yeah. Enjoy Will Healy as Michigan's new head coach.
I will, Rob. Speaking of Michigan.
Okay.
There's a lot Jed of Fish Michigan.
Jed Fish is the...
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like, I think Arizona's your new team because Jed Fish is now the head coach, who obviously coached at Michigan. His OC is Brennan Carroll, son of Pete Carroll, the Seahawks head coach. And his DC is Don Dr. Blitz Brown, also from Michigan.
And Jed Fish also coached with the Seahawks for a year. It's an amalgamation of Seahawks and Michigan staffers. And yeah, Fish has been both. And the only one I like is Don Brown.
AJ, are you the athletic director for the Wildcats?
Yeah, secretly. It's me. I'm just trying to gobble up all the ex-Michigan and Seahawks staffers I can. I don't know. I never liked Jed Fish. I have no faith in Brennan Carroll. Like, his whole career seems like just pure nepotism so far. I mean, this is a big chance for him to show that he's not just Pete Carroll's son. I don't think he's going to seize it, but at least he's got college and pro experience. I don't know. I still love Don Brown, though. Like, it obviously wasn't perfect at Michigan, but those Ds were fucking monsters at times. I think that's about as good as a D corner hire Jed Fish could have made, though.
For Jed Fish, yes. Yeah. Especially for one of the poorer Pac-12 schools. Poorer in terms of what they've done on the field, athletic department-wise. I think my issue, okay, two issues. I think Jed Fish was the least qualified person who was named a head coach. And I don't really think there's much of an argument in college football. And I don't think there's much of an argument, against that.
Fair.
And then my second thing is his only Pac-12 ties, or even I'll just go West Coast ties to give him a little bump for coaching with the Seahawks and the Rams. But like, he spent a year at UCLA and like wasn't very good. Everywhere he's gone, his name is always bubbling up, but there's never been much on field that makes you understand why.
I totally agree. Yeah,
it's very strange. And you and me have joked about Jed Fish like for years, just because his name always pops up.
You know what's the weirdest thing? Like you said, it's been popping up so much. He feels like he's been around so fucking long, and he's only 44 years old.
I know. It blew me away when I saw his own. I just assumed at this point he was like at least 55.
Yeah, me too. That's literally what I thought.
Like, what is Jed Fish's defining moment that you can point to on his resume for why he deserves a head coaching job in the Power 5? Like, the fact that he makes that jump straight to being a Power 5 head coach, having never been a head coach at any level before,
yeah,
outside of being the UCLA's interim, which, I mean, whatever. And he was the Patriots QB coach last year, and he's just bouncing from job to job. Like, he's had so many jobs. But yeah, like I guess the biggest thing was a student coach at Florida, or like did work for Steve Spurrier at Florida while he was a student. And like, that's kind of like the only relative thing that he's done.
And now Scott Spurrier works for him. It's nepotism, baby. No, for sure. I don't get it. Like, anytime anyone hires Jed Fish as like QB's coach or whatever, it's like, oh, all right. Whatever. And then it's like suddenly he's a head coach. I don't get it. But I like Don Brown, and bringing in Teddy Bruschi as a senior advisor, I think that's a good move.
Yeah. The things, okay. So obviously with a guy like this, you worry about how is he going to recruit. Arizona and Arizona State both have done a poor job of recruiting in their own state. The key to them improving is recruiting. Like, Arizona's got a lot of talent all of a sudden because Phoenix is such a hotbed for talent. I mean, it's QB city. But he doesn't really have any ties to the program. But what he has done is, like you said, he hired Teddy Bruschi. He hired Chuck Cecil as his DB coach, yeah. Arizona legend. So you had two Arizona legends from like the best Arizona team of the 90s. He's added a lot of his assistants have Arizona and Pac-12 ties, which is also another big bonus, I think. He's done a pretty good job filling out his staff, but that's the only positive thing I think he's done. I graded this a D, and it would have been an F if he didn't get Don Brown and a couple of his assistants.
Yeah, I'll give it a 4.5, and it's for the same reason. It's just I don't even like the staff. It's just like I think he did a solid job filling it out, and I don't know. It feels like he's gonna be gone in 3 years at best.
Yeah, I guess the other thing is, I really thought Jay Norvell should have got this job.
Yeah, no.
Or totally. Brett Brennan even.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of Tennessee Orange, hey. Butch Jones is the new head coach at Arkansas State. Spent his post-Tennessee years as an off-field staffer for Nick Saban at Alabama. Was there for 3 years post-Tennessee. I know a lot of people hear Butch Jones's name and kind of have negative thoughts.
Yeah.
But first of all, he's been the best head coach at Tennessee since Philip Fulmer. That, I mean, you can't deny that. He had 2 9-win seasons. He also obviously twice following Brian Kelly at Central Michigan and Cincinnati had big time success with both of those programs.
Yeah.
Like he's proven to be a good Group of Five head coach. That's why like I think there's not a lot wrong with making this move if you're Arkansas State.
Agree.
And then I also like that he brought in Ryan Applin as a running back coach, which was a guy who obviously was the quarterback at Arkansas State. He had a lot of people supporting him to actually be the head coach. And I think it's just a smart move by Jones to go and get him for his staff. I think Matt Limegrover, the former Penn State O-line coach, is a great ad for them too. Arkansas State's one of the G5 programs that's in recent years has put a lot into their athletic department. So I give this a B-. Like, it's nothing to get super excited about. But I think, like, considering, like, Blake Anderson left to take that Utah State head coaching job, this isn't, like, a massive downgrade.
No, I agree. I mean, like you just said, we've seen him have great success in the G5. And yeah, I think the staff saw, like, he kept Heckendorf, the OC. He's been there for a couple of years. Harley's like the DC, too, yeah. Coming from, he was a Pitt linebacker coach and recruiting coordinator. That's interesting. Pitt's got talent on defense. It's not exciting, but I think it's a good hire. Like, you already touched.
Yeah, like, I don't think they're going
to. Yeah, go ahead.
They're not going to drop off.
No, I agree. They're probably not going to get any higher, which is. It would be hard because they're already a great program. But, yeah, I agree. I gave it a 7 out of 10. I think it's a good hire. Just doesn't get you super excited.
Yeah, like, the goal, I think, at Arkansas State is. Like, I mean, again, Blake Anderson did a fantastic job. Yeah. He was competing for conference titles. But at the end of the day, I think the goal is 7-9 wins. And I think Butch Jones is with this staff can do that. And I think you're right about the Heckendorf keeping him, keeping continuity. And it's Harley was a really good G5 DC hire,
yeah.
too. So.
Yeah, agreed.
Okay, Auburn. Auburn, Auburn, Auburn. They fire Gus Malzahn, who ends up taking the Central Florida head coaching job. More on that in a bit. It sounded like they couldn't get some of the people they were interested in, and they kind of landed on maybe not their number one choice in Boise State head coach Brian Harsin, who has done a fantastic job at Boise State, continuing what Chris Peterson built there, and before him, Dan Hawkins. He went 69-19 as the Boise State head coach. And I just think it's such a jump to go from that to Auburn. Auburn's like one of the like 8 schools in the country that can legitimately win a national title. And he's only once been on a Power 5 staff. He was at Texas for 2 years. They weren't that good. He doesn't really have any South ties.
No.
It's a very strange hire. What I do like is his OC is Mike Bobo and his DC is Derek Mason. Two guys with deep SEC ties.
Yep.
Bobo was essentially South Carolina's head coach last year. And obviously Mason was Vanderbilt's head coach for a lot of years. And he also hired Nick Eason as the D-line coach. Will Friend is his O-line coach. And, I mean, Cadillac Williams is running back coach. Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's just it's a weird move. It definitely felt like Auburn fired Malzahn with eyes on someone big, and then it just didn't work out. And I don't know. I kind of feel bad for Harsin. Like I like Harsin a lot. I think he's a really good football coach. So it's like it's not even a knock.
I do not like him. for the record.
Okay. I like Hart. I think he's a good coach. But yeah, like you said, there's no ties there. Bringing in Bobo and Mason, two guys, like you just said, were coaching in the SEC last year. That's a really good move. I don't know. It just feels like it's not going to work too much. So I gave it a bit of a bump with Harsin because I like him. I give it a 6.5, but I don't know. It's like a...
Okay. We're about to... I give it a C+, so we're on the same page.
Yeah, it feels like a slightly downgrade, to be honest.
Yeah, I would have rather kept Gus Malzahn. I do love Gus Malzahn, though. And I guess the thing about... I think you're right where it's a low ceiling but high floor higher, where I don't think they're going to just crumble and not be a bolt. Like, yeah, they're not going to become what Tennessee has become. But I don't think they're going to be a top 10 program under Brian Harsin. Like, I think they'll be a middling top 25 team. Like, they'll win 8 to 10 games, but I don't think he's the guy who's going to... If Gus Malzahn wasn't good enough for you, I don't think this is an upgrade.
Yeah, exactly. And I was about to say, it feels like they're going to win 8 to 9 games, and maybe he's going to win 10 there if he's really lucky. Yeah, I don't know. It's a funny move, but I don't know. I like Harsin, so I'm happy for him, but it's a weird move.
The Derek Mason DC hire, I think, was a slam dunk, because I think he was one of the best options on the market for a defensive coordinator job. But I guess recruiting is going to be big. Just because it always worries me when you hire a guy who doesn't have big time ties. And it's not like Boise State is known for their recruiting. They've done a really good job developing. Yeah. I also do think the writing was on the wall. Brian Harsin had a lot of issues with the Mountain West, and was like kind of pushing towards Boise State leaving it. So very interesting.
Yeah, I've long hope that Boise State's made the jump to the Power Five. I'm sure many people do, but I hope it happens, to be honest.
Well, I think the coolest possible outcome would be Boise State moving to the Pac-12 and then North Dakota State moving to the Mountain West.
That'd be really fucking cool, for sure. But as we mentioned, they don't have the grades, Rob, for the Pac-12.
It's true. Okay, but speaking of Boise State, Harsin leaves for the Auburn job, which brings an opening at Boise State. They've got a long history putting their head coaches into the Power Five. So they go and hire, I think, the absolute best candidate they had, Andy Avalos, the Oregon defensive coordinator, who spent the last 2 years in Eugene, but prior to that was on the defensive staff in Boise State for years. He's a legendary linebacker. He's young. He's only 39, so he knows the landscape. He knows kind of how Boise State, well, he definitely knows how Boise State works, and he had a huge part in Oregon kind of rebounding and getting back and winning a Rose Bowl 2 years ago. I love this hire. I don't really think there was any other clear options.
Well, Kellen Moore,
his OC's Tim Plows, DC Spencer Danielson, special team Stacey Collins. The other really good thing about this, I think, is who he hired as his assistant head coach, and Frank Mail, who comes over from Utah State, and he was the interim last year, and a lot of those guys, or a lot of those players wanted to keep him on as head coach, and he's another just a young guy who knows the West Coast and has... he's a very good defensive line coach. So I think I give this an A. This is tied for my highest grade.
Yeah, this is an absolute slam dunk. And like you said, the staff is really good. Keeping Danielson, he was co-DC there, is great. Avalos, like you just said, he did a great job at Oregon. It just feels like they're keeping the Boise train rolling. It was all just a slam dunk. Exactly. Here. I think Tim Plow, I don't know how to say his name, is the interesting part of this. Like, he feels kind of boomer bust. Like, he had those he was UC Davis's OC. And he had those UC Davis offices cooking, and Keelan Doss fucking lighting up people. But that's the interesting part. Like, everything else feels like a slam dunk. Like you said, Miley, that's a terrific hire coming from Utah State. Plow just feels like the interesting part. And it's not like I think this is going to be the, you know, if he doesn't cook, then the whole thing falls apart, because I don't believe that at all. I think this is a great staff. It's just, that's interesting to me. I gave it an 8.5 out of 10. I think it's terrific. You know what? I'm bumping it. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10.
I like your point, though. He is kind of more of the unknown because, like you said, they're retaining Danielson. And like you agree with me, Avalos, I mean, outside of, I guess, Kellen Moore was the clear perfect option.
Yeah.
So and those offenses, at least last year with Hank Bachmar being hurt the whole time, kind of took a step back.
For
and
sure.
Boise State didn't seem like themselves last season. I think Avalos can kind of rejuvenate that. And maybe in a couple of years, he's taken a P5 head coaching job.
Yeah, I mean, that's he definitely could be, or he could be just the guy to stick around. I mean, a bit of both. But, like, it's like you always feel good that Boise's going to come back with another really good hire. Because, I mean, they've done it 3 straight times for, what, 15 years now? 16? Whatever it's been.
Yeah. Yep. And I lied. This was my highest grade.
Okay. I think I have a couple just more nines. Is.
Oh, geez. Okay. Okay. Jumping to the conference where it's about family. That's what I think about the Big Ten. And Illinois. And they're going back to that Big Ten family well and bringing back a familiar name. They hired Brett Bielema, who, the former Wisconsin Badgers Rose Bowl head coach. Mm-hmm. And after that, Arkansas, we won't really get into that. But he was the Giants outside linebackers coach. He replaces Lovie Smith, who couldn't really – he had one bowl year, but outside of that, couldn't really turn around, but looked great on the sidelines all the time.
In that sick mess.
Bielema hired Tony Peterson as his OC. Ryan Walters, which I think is a big piece of why I kind of actually do like this,
yeah.
As his DC, Ben Miller's special teams coach. What do you think?
I'm going to miss Lovie with all my heart. But Bielema feels like a good hire. I mean, like you said, he's been in the Big Ten. He's had great success in the Big Ten with Wisconsin. He stunk at Arkansas, but we'll ignore that. I don't know if it's going to make Illinois like a perennial contender or anything, but I think they're going to be competitive year in, year out under Bielema. And like you said, Walters feels like a home run as a DC. Peterson coming from App State is an interesting OC hire. That could be boom. Not plow level, but it could be boom, could be bust. I think it's a good hire. I think we both wanted like a, you know, a Lance Leipold or something coming over from Buffalo. But if you're going with, you know, like you said, keeping the Big Ten family, I think this works. I gave it a 7.5 out of 10.
Yeah. Bielema's style of coaching fits what Illinois in the Big Ten need. I mean, at Wisconsin, what he did, I mean, it was a ground and pound game that just out muscling, out toughing other teams, and that doesn't really work in the SEC, and that's obviously why it didn't totally work at Arkansas. He did find a little bit of success there, though. I mean, compared to what they had after him.
True.
But, I mean, two 11-win teams at Wisconsin, 3 trips to the Rose Bowl. He knows how to win in the Big Ten. Ryan Walters, I think, is going to be a head coach at some point. Mm-hmm. He's the Missouri defensive coordinator, and I think he's just one of the best defensive coordinators in college football. Tony Peterson has coached in the Big Ten. He was the OC when Minnesota had all those running backs, the Marion Barbers and Lawrence Maronis of the world.
He's been around a long time.
And that style of football is what Bielema does, so I think they'll be on the same page. I think at the end of the day, Illinois is just trying to win 6 to 8 games, and I think Bielema can do that.
Yeah.
They're also like they should be able to recruit better talent because Illinois got talent. I mean, they shouldn't be out recruited by Northwestern just given what Northwestern has to work against. If you're a 4-star in Illinois, you should want to go play at the University of Illinois, but because of what they've been in the last decade, none of those guys want to go there, so they go out of state. And I think Bielema can fix that. I give it a B. I don't think you necessarily are like, fuck, we're going to be, like you said, we're not going to compete for Big Ten titles, but we're going to be playing in bowl games with Brett Bielema.
Yeah, like maybe they'll be in the mix in November in the Big Ten West. You know, like, I think it's a good hire. Just a really solid hire.
Every 3 years, if they've got the right team together, they're competing with Wisconsin. Like, I think that would be best case scenario.
Yeah, pretty much. But I mean, like, like Northwestern can win the division. Like, I can see this staff pulling off a sneaky Northwestern type of year.
Well, I mean, they got Brandon Peters, so it'll be this year.
There you go.
Okay. The University of Louisiana Monroe. AJ's alma mater. You know who else is alma mater? Tim Brando. Sick. And you know who Tim Brando wanted as head coach? Terry Bowden. And that is why we are here. They fired Matt Vieter, or I don't know how you say that, but he was not a good head coach for them. No. But they're also like the least funded FBS program. They've considered dropping to the FCS. It's hard to win there. It's one of the hardest places to win in college football. Vieter just joined Louisiana staff, which I respect as a quality control guy. Bowden was like very out of nowhere. He was a Clemson GA. He was working to get his master's so he could be on staff as a GA. It's very strange. But yeah, Tim Brando wanted him as head coach, and that's kind of how this happened. He, in his defense, although this is such a what the fuck hire, he won in Akron, which is like one of in the same atmosphere as Louisiana Monroe, where it's hard to win. Like, he made two bowl games in I think 7 years, which is like not good, but it is good for Akron. So I can kind of like, if that's what you're arguing, okay. He hired Zach Alley as his DC, which I think is an okay hire. And then he brought in Rich Rod as his OC, who was his OC, or his brother's OC, I should say, at Clemson. Which it's a very, and Rich Rod's son transferred from Arizona to them too, which is interesting. I still give it a D. Like, I don't know. Part of it is just because if you're Louisiana Monroe and you're hiring this, I guess brand name really is Bobby Bowden's son, and he's, I mean, he was the head coach at Auburn in the 90s. It gets the people talking, but I think you'd be better off taking a big swing at a young guy who's going to be super boomer bust and just letting him try and build something rather than this. Because doesn't it just feel like Terry Bowden in 3 years will retire, and then like maybe Rich Rod just gets named the head coach? I don't know.
Yeah, that's fair. But also, like, you know, maybe Bowden does the grimy work and gets the program up a little bit, and then they hire someone boomer bust. It's not bad. Like, it's an upgrade, and that's the way I'm looking at it. It's an upgrade over Vieter. I don't even know his name. He was a terrible coach because there was some talent on that ULM team last year, and it just shit the bed.
Doug Peterson's kid.
Yeah, Doug Peterson should be the head coach, totally, by the way. But I give it a 6. It's not bad. Like you said, Bowden's a brand name. It's a weird, weird, goofy hire. Rich Rod makes it even goofier. But we've seen him, obviously, he's had some really good offenses. I don't know. Who knows? This is weird. Go Warhawks is all I'm saying.
I guess my thing is with Vieter or whatever. I appreciate that neither of us know how to say his name. Like, he was a born and bred Louisianan. Like, he was a big-time high school head coach in Louisiana. He kind of was a big piece in making McNeese State a big-time FCS program in Louisiana. So you tried that route with just the guy who can bring in the talent because of his connections in Louisiana, and it did not work at all. And Bowden just seems so strange. Like, doesn't have any ties except he's friends with Tim Brando. And I don't know. To me, it should have just named Rich Rod head coach, and probably would have given a better grade, because I think Rich Rod's system he can scheme up lack of talent.
It sounds like you're selling yourself on it. I think you're boosting this grade.
I think it's hilarious. Like, I'm giving it a D, but I'm glad it happened. I just think there's many more. It's very, let's just hire this old white guy because his dad's Bobby Bowden and he used to be a head coach, whether he's good or not. And it's just very that, which I hate.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
But flipping to something I love, Marshall hiring Charles Huff, who is one of the best recruiters in college football, who's the Alabama's assistant head coach / running backs coach, one of the best recruiters in college football. Nick Saban loved this guy. I mean, the man walked on at Hampton, started his career playing running back, ended his career as like an all-conference center, so you have to respect that. He's only 37. He was Saquon Barkley's running back coach. He was Kylin Hill's running back coach when he had his best year at Mississippi State. I'll say I give it an A minus only because I don't understand firing Doc Holliday.
That was
a very political thing. There's a lot of, you can go read up on, but it's so crazy how weird college football is. Where
I know
if the governor of the state like doesn't like a guy, he might not be the head coach. Just craziness. Anyway. So it was strange that they fired Doc Holliday. But if they're going to reset, be younger, and kind of hope to take Marshall back to winning Conference USA championships, I think Charles Huff's a slam dunk. A minus. His OC's Tim Kramsey. His DC's Lance Guidry. Clint Trickett's on staff. Bill Legg's his assistant head coach. He built a good staff. He's one of the best recruiters, and I think he's going to do a really good job because Marshall's one of those G5 programs that can go into Florida and get maybe the guys who aren't able to go to Miami, some of those higher end three stars, and Marshall can pluck those guys.
Yeah, no, it's a program with some luster because of the history there, I want to start by saying that the firing of Holliday is still so fucking weird, like you said, political. And obviously, I thought it was dumb when they made that move. But, like you just said, Huff seems absolutely awesome. And everyone he's brought in either has ties to Marshall or to West Virginia. Plus, they have nice resumes. Yes. It just feels like a program building higher for a program that's bang competitive because Holiday's a good coach. It just feels, like you said, something to take them to the next level. They're going to be winning conference championships, I think, if they can recruit, which they should be able to because Huff is fucking awesome at it. This feels like a slam dunk. Again, it sucks that they kind of, for the reasons they fired Holliday, it sucks. But this hire is awesome. So I gave it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah, they hired like the one guy they could hire.
Yeah.
Where it's almost like, firing Doc Holliday is super weird. But they hired the one guy where you can be like, well, maybe this was the right move, actually.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I feel.
And what was I gonna say? I wonder if Doc, like, do you think Doc Holliday's just gonna be done?
I don't know. I guess so.
Like, I feel like he like legally can't coach outside of the state of West Virginia.
That's true. That is true. By the way, when you said going into Florida and pulling guys out that didn't go to Miami, are you thinking of Rakeem Cato specifically?
Yes, specifically, yes.
I don't know what's going to happen with Doc Holliday. That's a good question.
He's 63, so it feels like it's just over, or he takes over an FCS program in the state of West Virginia.
That'd be cool, I guess.
It would be cool. Okay, South Alabama. Speaking of young, cool head coaching hires, the youngest of the group here. South Alabama fired Steve Campbell, who never really found any success there. Again, one of the harder places to win just because they recently jumped to the FBS. Yeah. But they have like higher end facilities than a lot of G5 schools.
A brand new stadium.
Yes, exactly. Like the Sun Belt, secretly a lot of their places have invested well. So I actually think that, like, it's smart to fire Steve Campbell, reset, get the young guy in. They hire Kane Womack from Indiana, who was the DC the last 2 years. He was South Alabama's DC for 2 years, 2016-17, so he knows what South Alabama's all about. For them, I think this was, again, kind of similar to Marshall. This is the best possible hire for them.
Yeah,
I don't really know who else you look towards if you're South Alabama and you're going for the young up-and-comer. Look what Indiana did last season, what they've done the last couple of years. He's been on that defensive staff. I trust anyone Tom Allen trusts.
It's a sneaky great hire. Like I said, Womack's only 33, was doing a fantastic job in Indiana. The familiarity is there because he was South Alabama's DC, like you said. This is a big upgrade. Steve Campbell, just one of those guys that just didn't get you too pumped about anything. And Major Applewhite is kind of a nice OC to snag too. Like, that's not bad for him not, you know, being weird about jackets and stuff or being a head coach. But for like USA as their OC, I think that's a nice hire. And like you said, Womack, that's exciting. I give this an 8 out of 10. I think this is sneaky great.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I give it the same grade as I gave Charles Huff and Marshall. I give it an A-, because you have to look at it in the context of, for this school, given the circumstances, is there a better hire out there? I don't think there was for them.
Agreed.
And I'm with you in the Major Applewhite. Major Applewhite, as a head coach, didn't necessarily go great, but he's a really experienced and still pretty young OC. He's coached major college football. He was part of the Nick Saban Alabama analyst rehabilitation program last year. But like, he's been a successful offensive coordinator. And if you're South Alabama, you're not going to get a bigger name than him as your OC.
No, it's a great hire.
and Corey Batune is DC. I think sneaky because he's been around the block as a DC in the G5, and he's been around the block as an assistant coach in the fucking SEC.
It's a good staff, man. This is a really good hire. And like, Marshall can go into Florida and recruit. USA can come up to Canada and go to the hotbed of Brampton and recruit, baby. Brandon Bridge, what's up?
Okay. Speaking of nepotism, from earlier when you mentioned Brennan Carroll, South Carolina hired Shane Beamer,
baby,
as their head coach. And if you're thinking to yourself, Beamer, where have I heard that before? Well, his dad happens to be Virginia Tech Hall of Fame head coach Frank Beamer.
The GOAT.
So Shane Beamer, the South Carolina fans love it because he's coached there before, so he knows. He coached under Spurrier, so he knows. Like, he knows the program. He knows they're capable of winning 11 games. He also coached for his dad. He coached for Kirby Smart. And he spent the last 3 years as Lincoln Riley's assistant head coach. Okay. I think he is qualified to be a college football head coach by his resume. But to be an SEC head coach like this is a slam dunk hire is, like, you're kidding yourself.
I totally agree.
If Shane Beamer became head coach at, like, I'm trying to think, at South Alabama, you'd be like, that's a pretty good hire, or whatever. But in terms of this, I think, like, Will Muschamp was way more qualified, and I don't think many people liked when he was hired. He was obviously fired and replaced now with Shane Beamer. Will Muschamp is Georgia's defensive analyst as Kirby Smart begins his Nick Saban rehabilitation analyst program. I follow a lot of South Carolina people on Twitter, and they seem to love it, which it's a very unproven staff and very not, like, full of experienced SEC assistants.
Okay, let me start. I agree with you. Beamer is, like, interesting. I think he's definitely interesting. The resume is nice. The nepotism isn't. But I agree. Like, I would have liked to see him get some G5 head coach experience before hiring him anywhere in the Power 5. But yeah, like you said, South Carolina loves that fucking familiarity thing. He's only coached at big-time schools. But like you said, his coach is Frank. His dad is Frank Beamer. So, like, that's all nepotism. I don't know. But I do like the added tutelage of Lincoln Riley at the end. That's a nice bump. I think I like Shane Beamer, but I don't know if this is going to work out. And like you said, the staff seems very meh.
Yeah, like, so, I think you could justify hiring him as, like, a G5 or maybe even a non-SEC Power 5 head coach. It just seems like such a jump. Like, this is so much more to do with nepotism, I think, than anything else, right?
No, if his last name wasn't Beamer, he wouldn't have this job.
Yeah, I don't think so. And, like, it is nice that he coaches South Carolina for the old ball coach, and, like, he knows what the standard could be or should be, I guess. I just also think South Carolina fans are kidding themselves if they think they're competing for SEC titles. I think that was a very specific era that's come and gone. The Marcus Satterfield OC hire is very meh to me. Like,
It's a Matt Rhule guy.
He spent last season. Yeah, he's a Matt Rhule guy. He was Baylor's tight end coach. He's last season. He was the assistant O-line coach for the Panthers. He was not a good coach at Tennessee Tech. Like he does know the SEC landscape, which I guess is a plus.
And the Carolinas.
And the Carolinas. I do think Clayton White was a sneaky good hire as DC. They brought him over from Western Kentucky. But again, like that seems like a pretty big jump to go from Western Kentucky DC to SEC DC.
And he did a solid job there. Like you said, sneaky good, but yeah, it's a big jump.
I think it's without a question the best hire on the staff.
Whoa.
Montario Hardy. Yeah, I know. I knew you were going to say that.
I don't mind Torian Gray either, coming from Florida to coach the DBs. I think that's a pretty solid hire.
Mike Peterson, he played in the NFL for 15 years.
I don't know.
I give it a C+. Like, I think this staff is capable of being like a bowl-eligible South Carolina fan, or no, South Carolina team, but they're not going to live up to what the fans think they can be, which has, I don't know, like this, I think if everything clicks right, like they can be a consistent 7-win team.
Yeah.
But South Carolina fans think they should win double-digit games, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm smart and I don't follow any South Carolina fans on Twitter. I give it a 6. I give it a 6 out of 10. Yeah, I think we're both in the same wheelhouse. Like, I like Beamer. I'd like to see him get real head coaching experience before making this massive leap.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, Southern Miss, speaking of massive leaps, they hired Will Hall, who was the Tulane OC after Jay Hobson resigned, like a game in. Anyway, basically, Will Hall kind of being tied to this job has a lot to do with his ties in the state of Mississippi. He's from there. He played college football there. He's coached there. He was the head coach at West Alabama and West Georgia.
Yeah.
Like, he's got experience as a head coach, which is a plus. Like, it's not a super exciting hire. Southern Miss has, like, weird high standards, too. I'm pretty sure his dad's, like, a legendary high school Mississippi coach. He also doesn't have an OC because he's going to call plays.
Yeah.
Austin Armstrong's his DC. Greg Myers is special teams coordinator. I have a hard time. Like, I understand the hire, but, I don't know. Is this really, like, I don't know. What do you think?
I don't. Again, like you just said, it's not exciting at all. I don't think it's a bad hire. Like you said, the FCS head coach experience is pretty nice. And, like, he did a solid job as Tulane's OC. Took a bit of a step back this year. I don't know. I'll give it a 5.5. I had it as a 6. I'm gonna downgrade it to a 5.5. It's okay. It's all right.
Again, it comes back to what you think Southern Miss can be. And they have high expectations there. Can they get back to, I don't know, Larry Fedora level? I give it a C.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, I had those Southern Miss teams fucking cooking in, like, NCAA 08. So, I mean, if you get back to my level, yeah, that's why I'm grading on a curve here, Rob.
Oh, gotcha. okay, Tennessee, speaking of unfair expectations of head coaches, they got Jeremy Pruitt fired after extending him, like, a year ago. And they got him fired with cause for they told on themselves and basically put whoever they hired as their next head coach in a hole recruiting wise because of sanctions, and they're probably gonna still end up having to pay Jeremy Pruitt. It's a shit show. Tennessee's been a shit show basically our entire lives.
Yeah. This century.
And it sounded Tennessee hired UCF's athletic director, Danny White, who then, it sounded like, couldn't get some of the people he wanted to hire on the phone, potentially because of the sanctions. And he hired the guy he hired at Central Florida, and he hired Josh Heupel, who brought Alex Golsh as his OC and Tim Banks as his DC.
Yeah. I honestly like Josh Heupel. I'm going to be honest. I've always kind of liked him.
Okay. And I don't.
I know you don't. And I know lots of UCF fans don't. But like you said, Tennessee is a fucking disaster. I don't know. Why would you want this job right now? I know it's still Tennessee, but is it? He doesn't seem like the one to turn Tennessee around. That's pretty obvious. And as we'll get to in a sec, it double sucks for Heupel that in his appearances that UCF upgraded with Gus Malzahn, and Malzahn would have been a better hire for Tennessee. I don't know. Started to slip at UCF a bit. Like, it's hard to judge this season, but no, it definitely looked like things were starting to go a bit. I don't like this, but I don't like Tennessee. I don't know. The staff is okay. I gave it a 5.5, but like that's trying to ignore the shit show even.
I gave it a C. He took a step back every year at UCF after taking over for the national championship team. If you're looking for a positive, the offense will be more exciting.
For sure, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. Like, this isn't, again, it's not the guy who's going to get you to your ridiculous expectations. Speaking of ridiculous expectations, maybe not so ridiculous in the state of Texas, where Tom Herman was fired. He'll probably be a G5 head coach soon, no?
Yeah, for sure. I'm kind of surprised it didn't happen, but I guess just the timing of everything.
So the Longhorns hired Alabama OC Steve Sarkisian, who put together one hell of a staff, brought Kyle Flood in as his OC/O-line coach from Alabama, brought Pete Kwiatkowski as his DC outside linebackers coach. He was Washington's DC. Brought Jeff Banks as assistant coach, tight ends coach, and special teams coordinator, also from Alabama. He hired Blake Gideon. That's a big plus. Brought A.J. Milwee with him from Alabama, and Jeff Cote. I don't know how to say
Montana's
that, but he's a very,
yeah.
Yeah, he hired Montana's head coach, who was up for the Boise State head coaching job.
Yeah.
So it's a really strong staff. Sark obviously had some issues at USC and Washington. By all accounts, he is good to go. He didn't do a great job at USC or Washington, but he always did. Like, he recruited pretty well, and it looks like Texas is already recruiting well. Mm-hmm. They got 5-star quarterback Malik Murphy for 2022. I think if anyone's going to turn Texas around, like, he is the offensive mind that can scheme guys. Bijan Robinson's not going to have a lack of touches, at least. So I give it an A-.
Yeah, like, it definitely all feels different for Sark here. Like, it finally feels he's got it all together, and this really, really impressive staff helps. And like you said, his offense was amazing last year, and it wasn't just the insane talent at Bama. Like, you saw Sark's play calling and play designs. They were amazing. He was killing it. I'm going to be, like, I'm still a little afraid of buying in on everything, but I think it's going to work. I think it's going to work. I am buying it. I gave it an 8 out of 10, and if I was a little more bought in, I would have bumped a bit. I like the hire. I think this all feels good for Texas, but who knows?
Full disclosure, I thought Tom Herman was going to work too. So
I did too. Yeah, I totally did. So,
and it wasn't for a lack of recruiting, because they recruited well. So we'll see. UCF, you mentioned Gus Malzahn. Maybe an upgrade from Josh Heupel, who left for the Tennessee OC job. Malzahn hired Travis Williams as his DC, Brian Blackman as special teams coordinator, Tim Harris and G.J. Kinney as his OCs, but he is going to call plays. Herb Hand as his O-line coach is also a slam dunk. I'm giving it a B+. I mean, UCF's got all of the resources to be a consistent top G5, yeah, New Year's Six Bowl team. If Gus Malzahn's in his bag and at his peak calling plays, Dylan Gabriel's going to have a huge year. I'm pretty excited to see what this looks like.
Yeah, I like this. I mean, G.J. Kinney always has a soft spot for me. So I love that. Like, bringing Williams over from Auburn, that's good. Gibbs from Mizzou, that's really interesting too, because we've already talked about that Mizzou staff. You know who else is there as director of football ops? Fucking Michael Orr's brother, S.J. Tui. That's goofy.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. I feel like this is a slam dunk home run, Rob. It fits. I think he fits UCF perfectly. I think, like, the talent on the field, like, fits his scheme perfectly already, and the big pedigree. I give it a 9 out of 10. I think this is a great hire, and
I give it a B+.
Yeah, I think, like we talked about, it's an I like Heupel, but I think it's an upgrade still. So obviously, so.
It also seems like Gus Malzahn is pretty, like, he's not looking to,
yeah,
like, considering how much money he got from Auburn too, but, like, he's not looking to use this as the stepping stone to the SEC job.
He feels bought in. He definitely does. I agree.
Yeah, like, this is, he wants to coach here for the next 10 years and retire.
Which makes me happy for UCF, because, I mean, obviously, I guess some people don't like the program because they claim the national championship, but it's hard not to like them. And, you know, losing these coaches all the time. I want to see sustained.
I love Gus, too.
I'm not a huge Gus Malzahn fan. Like, it's not that I dislike him at all. But I do like this fit, and I feel like this is pretty perfect.
I love him. Okay, Utah State hired Blake Anderson after the Gary Anderson fiasco. Gary Anderson part two, electric. I'm going to quit in the middle of the season / mutually part ways / get fired. Blake Anderson making that G5 head coach, the new G5 head coach. Like, you don't see that very much. Blake Anderson had a lot to do with personal stuff. Like, not that sounds ominous. Like, after his wife died, like, he just wanted to kind of get out of the constant remembering of being at Arkansas State. Yeah. So he takes the Utah State head coaching job. I think, if you're Utah State, going from Gary Anderson to Blake Anderson, like, that's such a jump up. Blake Anderson at Arkansas State cooking. He hired a really cool staff, mm-hmm. too. He said he made it a point to make it a diverse staff. He wanted every player on his team to feel like they were represented by someone on the staff, which I think something more coaches should think about. And so he hired Anthony Tucker as his OC, Ephraim Banda as his DC, Chucky Keaton's on staff.
That's the best part, yeah.
Utah State, we've seen, can be a good program. Yep. Going back to the Chucky Keaton days, and obviously what Matt Wells did with Jordan Love. So I'm pretty excited. I think Blake Anderson can have them as a consistent bowl team and maybe every once in a while really competing in the Mountain West.
As a Seahawks fan, I have a soft spot for Utah State because of Bobby Wagner and Robert Turbin. I also liked Matt Wells a lot, too. And I fucking hate Gary Anderson. Fuck Gary Anderson. Long live Blake Anderson. I love Blake Anderson. The staff team's awesome. Tucker from UCF. Ephraim Barreto from Miami. Yeah, Chucky Keaton is a bonus. I think this is a great hire. Like you said, you don't see – like, realistically, it's a fairly lateral move, but for personal reasons, it makes sense. I give it a 9 out of 10. I love this. I love this so much for Utah State.
The other thing is Blake Anderson seems like he's pretty content being a G5. Like, he's not – it's not a stepping stone job, which is – like, when you go into a rebuild type thing like Utah State's doing, that's kind of what you're looking for, right? Yeah. Like, Blake Anderson could, I'm very sure, could have taken a Power 5 job at some point with his success at Arkansas State. And he never did. And then making this move, I'm pretty excited.
No, that
I like Utah
State. That's a good point. It doesn't feel like he's jumping from a program he built to be great to, like, a program that's a little bit better that he can take to the next level and then jump. This feels like he's taking on a project in hopes of rebuilding Utah State, and that feels like he's there for the long haul, and that's great. And I love everything about this hire, to be honest.
Okay, finally, Vanderbilt. After I think Derek Mason was head coach for 7 years, never really turned it around after they lost James Franklin to Penn State. They hired Clark Lea, who was Notre Dame's defensive coordinator, but is a Vanderbilt alum, born and raised in Nashville. I get the people who wanted Vanderbilt to hire, go from a defensive coach to a young hotshot offensive guy. Sure. I totally get that.
Yeah.
But again, with this program like Vanderbilt, given the circumstances of the academics making it much harder to recruit, I'm always for hiring a guy who totally understands that. Obviously, him having played there, he understands that. One of the best DCs in college football the last couple of years, too. Is he going to actually be your Pat Fitzgerald with what Fitzgerald's done in Northwestern? Yeah. Probably not. But you can see a path to him getting them to 6-6, which, again, that's kind of, I think, the goal at Vanderbilt. He hired David Rise as OC, Jesse Minter as his DC. He's got Joey Lynch on staff as a QB coach. I don't think there's a smarter hire. I give them a B+.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think it's a slam dunk. Like, there's pretty much a perfect hire, like you said. And he's still young. He's a great DC. Like, everything checks out. And obviously, like you said, the deep ties to Vandy. The staff looks pretty interesting. Rye coming from the Cardinals as their wide receiver coach. He's been with Cliff Kingsbury before. That's a bit of a jump, but an interesting hire. Minter coming from the Ravens as his DC. They got baby Doug Marone, Justin Listig, who's their assistant coach, tight end coach, and special teams coordinator coming from Cuse. I think this is all a home run. And yeah, like you said, people are already calling him Vandy's Pat Fitzgerald. Maybe a bit of a stretch, but like you just said, if they're hiring a young hotshot offensive guy, first of all, I don't think that's as important in college football as it is in the NFL. But no. To go on with that, like you said, recruiting would be tough. And when you're hiring someone like that, they are just trying to use Vandy as a stepping stone. They're not coming in to build it. I think Clark Lee's here for the long haul. And yeah, it's tough circumstances because of how great academically the school is and being in the SEC. I think he can pull it together. I think he can get this Vandy program back. I give it a 9 out of 10. I think this is about as good as a hire as you could possibly make.
You also have to assume he'll have a long leash considering how long Derek Mason had there too, right? Yeah. So like they're going to let him try and build this thing, and he knows the area so well, and he's also obviously he's got ties to Big Ten country, having been at Notre Dame. He was at Wake and Syracuse, and he's been at UCLA. Like, he's coached literally all over the country. Yeah. So I think that's another big plus.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we move on, let's just quickly, I gave Arizona a D.
Oh, I got to scroll up. I gave Arizona, I think it was a 5.
Okay.
No, 4.5, 4.5. Ready? I changed it. Right? 4.5. Yeah.
Okay. I gave Arkansas State a B-.
7. Butch Jones, baby.
Auburn C+.
6.5.
Boise State, an A.
9 out of 10.
Illinois, a B.
7.5 out of 10.
Wait, I think, yeah, B. Louisiana Monroe, a D.
I gave it a 6.
Marshall, an A-.
Charles Huff got a 9 out of 10 for me.
South Alabama, an A-.
8 out of 10 for me.
South Carolina, C+.
6 out of 10.
Southern Miss, a C.
5.5.
Tennessee, a C.
5.5.
Sark in Texas, an A-.
Sark got an 8.
UCF, a B+.
9 out of 10.
Utah State, a B.
9 out of 10.
Vandy, a B+.
9 out of 10. I like the last three.
That probably wasn't like fun to listen to. I just wanted to remember what you gave people. So, you know what else, AJ? Whether rare dead stock or the latest release, find the exact shoe you're looking for on eBay. With eBay's authenticity guarantee, your sneakers are meticulously inspected by independent professional authenticators. A team of experienced sneakers authenticators verify the box, logo, stitching, and dozens of other inspection points. Each sneaker also receives an authenticity guarantee tag that includes a digital stamp of authenticity and is customized with the sneaker's details. Authenticity guarantee also protects sellers with a verified return process. It's free to sell sneakers $100 and up on eBay. And thanks to eBay's authenticity guarantee, verified returns make the whole transition worry-free. With other sites taking as much as 25%, you're going to have a lot of extra money left for more sneakers. I'm starting to lose my voice. Okay, also, March Madness is almost here. College basketball is very much nearing its peak. Conference tournaments are only like a week away at this point.
Yep.
We just watched Oklahoma and Oklahoma State in overtime. We saw Cade Cunningham pull off the upset. It was wonderful.
Yeah, Xavier's almost upsetting Crate. College basketball is awesome right now. And you know what's cool too? It's like a lot of these teams have such a backloaded schedule, so there's a shit ton of games to bet on.
There it is. That's how we wrapped it all together there. So head to Bet Online. And on your laptop, on your mobile device, whatever floats your boat, and receive 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Okay, AJ, my voice is really suffering here.
Okay.
We will quickly do this. I've got a list of Group of Five head coaches who could jump to the P5 in a potential landing spot. You just hit me with a yay or nay.
Okay. All right. And I'll make you a nice hot tea with some honey in it after the show.
Well, that's what you do after every show.
Of course. It has its tradition.
Okay. Luke Fickell, Cincinnati's head coach. Couple options. Cincinnati joins the Big 12, so then he's just a Power 5 coach. Penn State, if James Franklin potentially leaves for the USC job, and Michigan.
I love all three options. My only thing is, I mean, like, I'd love to see Cincinnati make the leap, and I think they should. I don't want it to be the Big 12. I mean, the Big 12 is needy for it, but I don't know. Just seeing them jump that far. You know how I like my conferences geographically sound. So that's my only issue there. But I think all three of those landing spots or sticking spots for Fickell would be great. I wanted him as Michigan's head coach. So
Cincinnati can't really join any other conference, though. So. I know.
The Big East is coming
and
back.
The Big 12. That's my yeah. Opinion. And the Big 12 wants to become more national. So it would be smart for them.
It would. I'm just saying it as a geographical nerd and as someone who doesn't love the Big 12. It'd be mutually beneficial. It'd be a good move.
Okay, Louisiana head coach Billy Napier. Mm-hmm. It's hard to find spots for him because a lot of the SEC jobs, they're just not going to be open.
Yeah.
It's also really hard to kind of guess what'll be open because one bad season can result in a firing. For sure. Who knows? But for him, I put LSU. Maybe at Ogeron can't be more than a 1 year wonder.
Mm-hmm.
I mean. And is this would be an interesting place. He knows the state. And I put USC.
Do you think that's Billy Napier's leap? Like it's going to be that to blue blood programs? Or do you think there's going to be a step in between?
It's hard to find. Because I think if it would be a step in between, it would be like a South Carolina type job, which maybe this is the guy they should have hired.
It is. It's correct.
But a lot of those SEC jobs have just either have fresh head coaches or guys who are not going to be fired.
Yeah.
So it's hard to find a spot for him to go.
Definitely. And there's not too many stepping stone programs in the South. And like UCF, maybe that could have been a spot, but clearly they upgraded. And like you said, Scar could have been there. I wonder how Napier would do at LSU. We're both huge Billy Napier fans. I mean, that'd be cool. But that question about Ed O is interesting. I mean, there's so much love there for Ed O, but I could see that burning out kind of quickly.
The other thing is both Fickell and Napier seem to be choosy. Like they're not going to just jump because of jobs in the P5. Like they're going to jump because it's a P5 program they can dominate with.
Yeah, definitely. If I had to pick one of the two, I'm picking LSU.
I think it'd be interesting, and maybe that's in 3 years, right? Like he's got Louisiana cooking as a top 25 program now. He can take his time with this thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, Lance Leopold, Buffalo's head coach, a fan favorite on this show. Here's two things I'll pitch. He obviously won 6 national titles at Wisconsin Whitewater, D3 program. He's won at Buffalo, one of the hardest places to win in college football. We thought he might get the Illinois job. Okay, Syracuse, if they move on from Babers, and Nebraska.
If Syracuse hires him, I think that's an absolute slam dunk. They'd be fun for all parties. Getting him in the ACC would be great. I think that'd be amazing. Honestly, I'd rather see him go to Cuse because Nebraska, the expectations are so high. I think he'd have Cuse cooking right away. I like Dino Babers, but I think it'd be an upgrade if they hired him today.
Okay, Jamie Chadwell, the Coastal Carolina head coach, who went from the lowest paid FBS head coach to signing a 7-year contract. Okay, if Dave Clawson or Dave Doran end up out of NC State or Wake Forest, I think he is a very logical guy. He's obviously got big time Carolina roots. He's never coached in the P5 though, but I think he'll obviously with Grayson McCall being just going into his sophomore year. Yeah. He's gonna be around a while at Coastal winning.
I definitely agree. And I think a step to that level of program makes a lot of sense. And we're not talking about it being next year, but in 2 years, in 3 years. Because they're gonna keep being good, it seems like. That was a loaded roster. I think that step I'd like to see him in North Carolina. I'd like him sticking in the Carolinas, or if he's not, a really dirtbag touristy town. just like Myrtle. That's where I want him. Yeah. I think he fits that. And I think both those landing spots would be great, though. I think that's definitely the step for him to take.
Okay, so we heard, obviously, with what Liberty did last season, some murmurs that Hugh Freeze could get back in the SEC, Auburn, Tennessee, but the SEC has tried to have him not be a coach since the Ole Miss thing. You know what Power 5 program has a history of not caring about off-field things that are not illegal, but are illegal in the NCAA's eyes, or in poor taste, perhaps. Louisville. And Louisville obviously has Scott Satterfield, but he was looking at other jobs this offseason, and it soured a lot of people in Louisville, and perhaps he jumps next offseason because of the situation, and I don't know, Hugh Freeze makes sense.
I have not, that thought has never crossed my mind. I like it. I'm
it's funny.
It's funny. I think it's a good fit. He fits, like you just said, the school and the program and the football team. I like that. And obviously I love Scott Satterfield, but like you said, if he ever makes another leap, Louisville is always kind of stuck as that. They're like that stepping stone university, and I always kind of feel bad for them. But I think, like, if Freeze goes there, I think he could stick.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that'd be a slam dunk for both parties.
Okay. Bill Clark, UAB's head coach. Mike Leach's season at Mississippi State didn't go as planned, and Mike Leach is known to upset people. If Mississippi State decided, I mean, they moved on from Joe Moorhead after two years. I think Bill Clark, in SEC country at UAB, literally rebuilt a program that was killed. I think he'd be really interesting at a place like Mississippi State. I know it's a big jump from UAB to the SEC, but I think it'd be interesting.
Bill Clark is awesome. I obviously love Mike Leach. I think Bill Clark would be a better head coach at Mississippi State than Mike Leach is, to be honest. I think that just all fits in perfectly. How long do you think Mike Leach's leash is? That's a mouthful.
It depends. Like, Mike Leach could have a long leash and then burn that leash quickly.
Yeah, that's also very, very true. I like that fit.
Thank you.
I think it'd be nice at Tennessee too. If again, when they fire, Heupel, I think maybe he.
You love your head. And then, hey, Josh Heupel, Louisville's a good place for him too.
Oh, that's a good point. But yeah, Clark feels like maybe he could be. Let the stink wear off a little bit, but maybe he's the one to. I mean, he did a UAB from literally nothing. Maybe he's the one to rebuild Tennessee. They probably should have hired him.
Okay, I mentioned Jay Norvell. Mm-hmm. Should have been hired at Arizona. Nevada's head coach, one of the worst resourced programs in college football, poised to have a huge year this year too. Yes. Like, that's the G5 team to like really get excited about, I think. Okay, if two options, Herm Edwards could retire. Or Herm Edwards could get fired. And I think Jay Norvell is a Pac-12 team looking to kind of fix itself. Jay Norvell's my guy.
I agree. If Herm moves on or if Arizona State moves on from Herm, I like that a lot. It feels like Pierce is the next, but like, yeah, I like that.
I got more on Pierce later.
Okay, all right. I like Jay Norvell a lot, and I'm really excited for this Wolfpack team. I mean, you know, I've loved Carson Strong for, was it 3 years now? So,
yeah.
And they were maybe my favorite team to watch in the bowls this year. I enjoyed that bowl game deeply. Toa Taua, baby. He liked one of our tweets.
Okay, Sean Lewis, Kent State's head coach. This is a big, 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 big leap. Virginia Tech, if they move on from Justin Fuente.
The Fuente reign is so weird. It's like every year they're throwing a fireman and he wins a couple of games. And it's like, all right, we'll let him walk a little further. And that is a big leap. But Rob, I think you're doing well with these. Everyone you've picked feels like they fit the program well.
Thank you. Okay, Jason Candle, Toledo's head coach, a guy I love. Okay, if Pitt moves on from Pat Narduzzi, I don't think they will anytime soon, but I think Candle will be an interesting guy.
It wouldn't be bad. It wouldn't be bad. I think it makes sense from a Pitt perspective. This is my least favorite fit so far. I don't know why. I can't.
Well, because secretly I wanted to put Iowa State when Matt Campbell leaves.
Yeah, that's I like that. I don't know why. I don't know. I guess I shouldn't say I don't see Candle's like really like thriving at Pitt, but I mean, I realistically, I don't know. Toledo feels like a nice fit. I don't know how I feel about that, Ron. I called you Ron.
Okay. Brent Brennan, San Jose State's head coach, to UCLA. Chip Kelly hasn't had a winning season.
It feels like a big leap. UCLA is one of those programs that thinks they're better than they are. I think like realistically it makes sense, but I think UCLA goes and tries to pull a bigger fish. Maybe after Jed Fish has some success in Arizona, he comes back.
Will Healy, Charlotte head coach. I got two options here. Duke, if because we got to keep it in state.
Yeah.
Duke, if Cutcliffe retires. And Kansas, because I don't know what, like, Les Miles, it's, the longer Les Miles has been head coach, the worse it's sounding and getting. So I don't really, if you're Kansas, I don't know who you target, but Will Healy's done a pretty nice job at Charlotte.
I like that, if Cutcliffe retires, fit for Will Healy at Duke. I think that's cool.
The other thing is, there's a lot of Carolina-based G5 coaches. Or Carolina tied G5 coaches that Duke should pursue.
Yeah, no, that's true. Duke's next step is going to be really interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay, final one. Sonny Dykes, SMU's head coach. The man is built to coach in Texas. I don't think he'll ever leave SMU.
It's true.
But the one place that could get him is Texas Tech because his dad coached there. And if they wanted to move on from Matt Wells... Sonny Dykes makes a lot of sense.
100%. 100%. I mean, I love Matt Wells. It's been there so far. So if they ever do move on, I think that makes a ton of sense.
Thank you. Okay. Assistants who could jump to head coach. This is harder. I only pick coordinators. It's also really hard because a lot of, like, a MAC school is not going to be able to hire Graham Harrell as their head coach. You know what I mean? Yeah. And a lot of those schools go with Power 5 position coaches or FCS got it's a lot tougher, so this isn't as fun. We'll be quicker. Just give me a yay or nay.
Okay.
Tony Elliott, Clemson's OC assistant head coach. LSU, again, if they move on from Edo, Tony Elliott also is very choosy, it seems. So is Brent Venables, for that matter, who's next. So yay or nay, would you do that if you're LSU?
Yeah.
Okay. Brent Venables, if Dabo Sweeney takes the Alabama head coaching job when Nick Saban retires, does Brent Venables just become Clemson's head coach?
I like that. I think so. I think that he feels like the most Clemson there, you know what I mean? Other than Dabo, but whatever. Mm-hmm.
Marcus Freeman, Notre Dame's DC, formerly of Cincinnati. I think he naturally becomes Cincinnati's head coach if Luke Fickell leaves.
Yeah.
If Michigan hired him as head coach, how would you feel? Because obviously Michigan needs an Ohio State man to win because it's the only way they can win. So how would you feel?
I like Marcus Freeman. I'd rather snag Fickell. I could see Freeman making the Power 5 jump and to not Cincinnati unless they make the move. You know what I mean? Like he just feels like he's on the path to glory. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Graham Harrell. Now we got a couple levels here. North Texas should just hire him as head coach if that is possible. I feel like it's not at this point.
Yeah, agreed.
USC, Texas Tech.
I'd love to see Harrell back at Texas Tech.
Me too.
Whenever you can get a great quarterback back to their school, it makes me very happy. That's why I wanted Kellen Moore, but Avila's such a great hire.
Oklahoma, DC, Alex Grinch, who has had success everywhere he's gone. Temple. What does that make you feel?
First of all, I love Alex Grinch. He's so underappreciated still somehow. I like that. I don't know. He feels Temple tough. I like that.
I also put TCU if Gary Patterson retires.
I like that too. I feel like another guy. I think Grinch is going to get a big job or like a solid Power 5 job.
Texas A&M DC, Mike Elko. I put Temple for him as well as Iowa and Nebraska. Iowa, obviously, if Ferentz retires.
I like that. I like the Iowa fit. I like him. He feels like a Midwestern guy. I don't know why. Like the Corn Belt type of guy.
My guy, Todd Monken, the Georgia OC. I put Duke.
That'd be interesting, too. That's kind of a cool path from Cutcliffe to Monken. I'll say yay.
Phil Longo, North Carolina OC. I think he naturally just becomes head coach when Mac Brown retires.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I also put Duke, and I put Virginia Tech.
Both make sense, yeah.
Antonio Pierce, I put it Arizona State if Herm retires, because I feel like that's probably what they would do.
100%. I totally think so.
Jeff Lebby, Ole Miss's OC, was at UCF. Looked like he might get the UCF job at one point. I put FIU, assuming Butch Davis retires soon.
I think that'd be a slam dunk for FIU. Yeah, agreed.
Kendall Briles, Arkansas's OC. Both Lebby and Briles obviously have ties to Briles' father, which is a big no. Yeah. So I think for them to become head coaches, it would be at a lower level. So Lebby FIU, Briles Middle Tennessee, if your boy Stock still retires.
I love my my Blue Raiders too much. I don't want them there, Rob.
Respect. Yeah. I think if Kansas can hire this guy as their head coach, it is the best possible option. Bill Bendenbaugh, Oklahoma's co-CNO line coach.
They make a lot of sense. Kansas is such a weird gig.
It's very weird. I don't like Les Miles was just a dumb hire in general, obviously. They're also have been fucked by sanctions and scholarship limits. Yeah. I think you just have to get a guy in there who's been in the conference, Bill Bendenbaugh specifically, who's an offensive line guy, I think is the you just have to build this team different. I don't know. Yeah. I think it's a ground and pound style is how you get after it.
No, I like that. Like, you need a guy that's got that attitude to him. No, I agree. Mm-hmm. I agree.
I thought you had something else to say. Silence. Gotcha.
I will say, hey, how about this? Bring in one coach to coach the basketball and football team.
Oh, so Mickey Loomis.
And that's who I was thinking, he's already baby. Done it at the front office he's the level. AD. Mickey Loomis is the AD. And, I don't know. Who could coach both a football and a basketball team?
The guy who invented basketball at the University of Kansas.
There you go, baby. Perfect
hire. Dr. James Naismith.
Perfect hire.
Okay, two more. Jim Leonard, Wisconsin, D.C., former NFL safety. I put Syracuse and Nebraska for him as well.
I think he gets the Wisconsin job eventually.
Okay. And then finally, Rutgers offensive coordinator Sean Gleason. This is kind of an out-of-the-box one.
Okay.
Was at Princeton. Was at Oklahoma State. He's big New Jersey guy. Goes back to Rutgers. Rutgers, I think, is going to find some success. I think he's a very interesting guy for a school like UTEP. Or a school like Northern Illinois.
I like the Northern Illinois one. I like that. That is really out of the box. UTEP is another weird program that I don't know how I feel about them.
Yeah, fair. Okay, that's everything. That's all of them. It was good work.
Did you have fun?
I did.
Me too, Rob. Thanks for doing that.
You're welcome.
I'll get your tea ready.
Thank you.